Welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast, presented by Exo Mountain Gear. This podcast and the gear that we produce at Exo Mountain Gear share the same purpose: to make you a more capable, confident, and successful backcountry hunter. Straight to the point, no fluff, and no BS, this show is all about providing you with valuable information from experienced hunters. To learn more about the podcast or about our backcountry hunting packs, please visit exomountaingear.com. Well, welcome to episode 105, and Merry Christmas. This one's coming out just before the holidays and transitioning us into the new year. Special time of the year for sure. Hope you guys have some great plans and enjoy some good times with friends and family. I know that's what Steve and I are planning to do. This episode is with our buddy Spencer from Off Grid Food Company. If you haven't heard of Off Grid, that might be because they just launched this past summer. I didn't know anything about them, but had the chance to try some of their meals on my backcountry hunts this past fall, and I've also gotten to know Spencer a little bit through the podcast and some other things, and I gotta tell you what, the off-grid food options that he has brought to market are incredible. It's great stuff. So we talk with Spencer about his start, how he got into things, why he chose the off-grid food company, and even dive very specifically into the products that he has to offer and why he offers those specific products for us as backcountry hunters. Also, he has an exclusive discount just for you guys. So you can save 10% off any purchase using the code HUNTBACKCOUNTRY10. So be sure to check out everything he has to offer at offgridfood.co and use that coupon code HUNTBACKCOUNTRY10. Before we dive into this episode, I wanted to tell you about one more exciting development. Here in the next few weeks, we're going to be releasing a podcast that we did with some great guys from Atomic Athlete. They have a gym down in Austin, Texas, and also do online programming and training as well, and they are diehard backcountry hunters. So we talked with those guys. It was a great episode. I'm excited to share it with you. But since we released that episode, we continued to talk with them, and Jake over at Atomic Athlete was incredibly generous and built a custom program, training program, just for you guys. We are going to share it really with our audience. There's no place to buy this. There's no place to get it other than through us, and it's going to be a free download courtesy of the guys at Atomic Athlete. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great option if you're looking to get in better shape in the new year, if you're looking to just be better prepared next fall. This is a program that you can do, you know, at any time really, but it's also meant to prepare you specifically for the demands of backcountry hunting, and it's meant to be completed right before your hunt. But we've also scaled this program so that if you're starting off not in the best of shape, you can do it now and kind of improve your fitness, and you can repeat this program at different scales and at different capabilities, and it's going to be an awesome option to give you guys. I'm thrilled to offer this and offer it for free, just for you guys, no strings attached. So be sure to stay tuned and learn more about that in the coming weeks. Okay. Let's get into this episode with Spencer from the Off Grid Food Company. Spencer, welcome to the Hunt Backcountry Podcast. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, look to it. I'm excited. This is one of these episodes that, in a way, I almost feel like a listener, or it's easy to put myself in a listener's shoes because I don't know a ton about you or really Off Grid, although I have had a chance to sample the products and was not blowing smoke. I was pretty blown away. Like, this stuff was super legit. So, but I don't know the story. So I want to learn more about you, learn more about the story and what all has gone into you building Off Grid. So I guess let's start with you, just kind of some personal history or anything you want to share before we get into the product and the brand.
Yeah, for sure. Pretty simple background. I'll just give the quick little elevator spiel. I grew up in northern Michigan and grew up hunting and fishing with my dad, and mostly shooting birds and catching trout in the rivers and in the lakes up there, and moved out here to Bellingham right after high school. Just wanted to get west, wanted to get out in the mountains. As big skier, and just growing up in the outdoors, I knew I was heading somewhere. Ended up out here in Bellingham, so kind of bounced around. Met my wife out here right when I moved out here, and then we kind of bounced around for a bit and just found ourselves back here about 2 years ago with the arrival of baby number two. So did the move back to family thing, and it's been great, and it's been a lot of fun since. So we're That's just awesome. Kind of getting planted still in all sense of the term with home and business, and kind of getting back in our groove. So
yeah. So do you have any sort of food or nutrition background, or when did this concept become an idea for you? Did you have background in it, and kind of begin to take us along through the process of you have this idea? I mean, how did you really attack it and make it come to happen?
Yeah, for sure. I've always, I guess starting early, you know, food's kind of been a center point for our family. You know, even growing up, it was, you know, even sports and playing with buddies or whatever, and messing around in high school when we could drive, we always had to be home for family dinner. That was kind of our time to everyone kind of catch up and slow down from the day, and was kind of our little family time. So it's always been a focal point around our family, and have a lot of great cooks in our family. So grew up, kind of spoiled in the food department, eating really well. And my aunt's a professional chef and longtime caterer, and kind of just runs in the family. So I've always been super interested in food and cooking. Started out kind of in restaurants, washing dishes super early at 15 or so, and kind of done all sorts of kitchen jobs here and there all over the place since then. So kind of led back to the outdoors and was doing some oil and gas work before off-grid, kind of bouncing around all over the place where the work was. And that kind of came to a screeching halt. Actually took up a job guiding out here in Washington last year. Hadn't really done that before, and just kind of jumped right into it, guiding elk and bear and deer out here. Made a bunch of food, and everyone was kind of eating it faster than, the trips were lasting. So, and it's just been kind of stuff that we've been making on our own hunts for a while as well. So I kind of stocked up for guiding last year, and everyone kind of started asking if they could have some, or if they were buying it, or, hey, what's that you're eating over there, kind of a thing. And just kind of spurred into kind of a snowballing effect since then. So it's really kind of been a recent, kind of thing. And it's been a lot of fun and exciting going with it. So it's kind of those scary, scary things you can't really explain or put words to, but it's a lot of fun. And that's really kind of how it got started, man.
Cool. So is 2017 the first year, like the first official year of selling under the Off-Grid brand?
Yeah. So we just, we launched the website in July, just right after the Tamarack Northwest Mountain Challenge up there. So actually got to met Steve and Lenny and Jason and Tyler and those guys up there, and a bunch of people. And that was kind of our first big event.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Of all the Tamarack shoots I had to miss that one.
No, it was a lot of fun. I hadn't done one of those types of shoots before, and it was a blast, man.
They're outstanding for sure. It was my wife and I's 10-year anniversary, so we were doing a different getaway, and it's funny, I've brought her to Tamarack a few times, but it didn't sound like her ideal 10-year anniversary trip this year.
Well, I do not blame you for not pushing the Northwest Mountain Challenge for your anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that's cool. So it was pretty, organic process. You were making stuff for your own hunts. Guys were interested. I was going to ask about, what went into deciding what products you launched with? I mean, it sounds like that really was just, your own formulations, your own meals that you were eating, and that's what you decided to go with. Is that right?
Yeah. And a lot of that was regulation driven, with the USDA and our local state agencies selling packaged meat products is quite a process. So the kitchen that we're in right now kind of limits us from doing some of that or the way that I would want to do that. And that's what we're working on right now is getting our licensing to do full meals for next season. Obviously releasing those well before in advance, but that's kind of the next big thing, but it's really limited by those regulations. So it's that's kind of what we started with. Just we went through the process to get everything going right off the bat, and I'm almost kind of glad that we didn't have everything right off the bat. It would have been kind of a nightmare. So it's kind of a, you know, we're taking it in small steps and just kind of growing it as we can and getting things out there as the state allows us to do it. They've never really had anyone want to do dehydrated or freeze-dried meals before at the state licensing level. So it's kind of a real guinea pig type of thing with them, but they've been really great in trying to work with us and are excited about it. So it's been going well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's been a big learning curve and lots of surprises along the way from going to making your own meals in your house and maybe sharing with a buddy to then like launching it as a product and doing sales and all that. I'm sure that's been quite the journey.
Yeah. And even, you know, just the differences from like a caterer that works out of the kitchen that we work out of can do whatever because you're selling it on site to consumers right there. So it's just a completely different beast. That's what I'm used to. So yeah, it's been a whole new learning process. And luckily the inspectors at the state level are super nice and want you to succeed and want you to be able to do what you want to do. So they've been just great to work with and are helping us get to where we want to be.
Awesome. You mentioned something, and I know, you know, as you've hinted at, this is coming in terms of full meals, in terms of entrees for, you know, dinners or lunches, things like that with meat and all that. You mentioned freeze-dried or dehydrated kind of in the context of it's the first time the state's dealing with someone wanting to do that. Have you settled on which method you're going with, and is there a reason you've chosen freeze-dried over dehydrated and the pros and cons of that?
Yeah, I've been messing around with both, messing around with dehydrated a lot more because it's easily accessible. I have a few of them. Played around with a little bit of freeze-dried stuff, we're talking to a local company here that does all the local produce and fruits and stuff like that on a very large scale. But they've got a small little test area, and so they're gonna let me use one of their little small units to do some testing, and then once we get kind of that process approved with the state, then we'll be ready to invest in our own freeze dryers. But those are quite a bit pricier than a dehydrator, so it's kind of been limiting and testing the freeze dried side so far. But leaning towards that route just because you can do a lot more variety with it, a lot easier with a freeze dryer. I think both of them have their pros and cons. Obviously, I think dehydration is a little bit better for a little more friendly on size. The food actually shrinks, whereas a freeze dryer, it kind of retains its size and it just gets frozen and sublimated and dried through that process. You can do a lot more fats with a freeze dryer than you can with a dehydrator. So that's a big kind of factor in that leaning towards going that route. So we're just kind of playing it out, and that again is going to depend on what the state may or may not let us do. Those processes are quite different in themselves. Just the dehydrator versus the freeze dryer, on a science level. So there might be a whole lot more testing that goes into the freeze dried side of it versus the dehydrated side of it. So we're just kind of really playing it by ear. Doing a little testing with both, did a lot of testing with dehydrated stuff this season. And like I said, hopefully going to be doing a lot of freeze dried testing here shortly.
Awesome. Yeah, I know the dehydrated stuff, as you mentioned, it'll pack smaller. I assume it would be lighter as well. I mean, have you done any comparisons on taking the same volume of the same food and then really looking at the end result on freeze dried versus dehydrated and have an idea of, is it like 20% smaller? Any kind of ballpark figures on what actually space and weight differences you're looking at with the end product?
No, I haven't. And that's one of the things I'm excited to do some more testing on is what is the actual, you know, weight ratios or the ratio of how much, you know, it weighs after you dehydrate it and how much water you got to add to each one specifically. I know that's a big factor for guys that are in areas with limited water access is you don't want it to take up more of that valuable resource than you have to cook a meal.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff, we'll do a lot of that side-by-side comparisons here once we have a little more footing on what we can and can't do. And then, like I said, if we have access to a freeze dryer in the short term, we're going to get a lot of that going and jump on that opportunity when it arises. So
cool. Yeah, I mean, more water is not only more water, it's also more fuel, you know, to boil that water. And
yeah,
with the dehydrated stuff, you have a longer rehydrating time than with your freeze dried stuff. There's all kinds of pros and cons. It's interesting.
Definitely. And I'm kind of in the boat of when I do my own dehydrated meals, I like to do it in I have my little two pot system. I mean, the bags that we do the oatmeals and stuff in, we've done the testing in, and those work great. They're the heat proof bags that you can just pour the hot water right into. But I like personally with the dehydrated ones, I think you get a little better texture out of it when you kind of simmer it in its own pot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the route I go. But yeah, it definitely uses a little more water and a little more fuel on both those aspects, but it's just my preference. So
right, yeah, more water, more fuel, more time, but a bit lighter and a bit smaller for sure, and you know, more accessible for a lot of guys.
Yeah, and one thing I have found too is I think you do get a little different textures with each one, so it'll be interesting to play around with a freeze dryer a lot more and see how the texture of some things turn out compared to dehydrated as well, especially with meats and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So let's talk a bit more about the current offerings. If you could just kind of walk us through the lineup as it is today, you know, what you've had offered for this 2017 already. You know, you don't have to hit every flavor, but kind of the different categories that you offered. And then once we do that, I'd love to kind of dive deep into one of those and talk and maybe geek out a little bit on what specifically is in each of those, why you chose those ingredients, maybe where those ingredients are sourced, kind of the thought along, you know, the performance benefit of a hunter in the backcountry with those items, and kind of just get a little bit deeper into, you know, not only what you offer, but really why.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now our product line consists of kind of the Predator Fuels, which are our instant oatmeal hot breakfast. Then we've got the fuel bars and then a trail mix, the OG Mountain Fuel, and our kind of cold grainless version of a cereal, the Rise and Grind, which is basically our trail mix with powdered milk and protein powder in it. So then we've got, you know, kind of varieties of all of those and a lot more varieties of each of those, plus some new bars and stuff that we're going to just kind of introduce down the road as to not kind of swamp it all at once or play all our cards at once there. So that's kind of our lineup right now. Basically, we got you covered from the start, from breakfast through basically until you're ready for a full hot meal. So that's kind of what we got going on at this point.
Yeah, awesome. So let's take a look at, like, you know, the hot breakfast, the Predator Fuel. You know, it's not your standard oatmeal. You know, it's not the Quaker Instant Oat Packs. I mean, it's obviously different from an ingredient perspective. So kind of walk us through what sets it apart.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we've been eating for a long time. It's just kind of like, you know, the little instant oatmeal packets they just don't cut it, man. I mean, there's no other way around it. So the Predator Fuel really is kind of, you know, we call it oatmeal on steroids just for kind of a funny little joke. Obviously, it's all clean ingredients, but it's really pretty jacked up. You know, one of those bags, it's got about 500 calories, 20 grams of fat, 60 grams of carbs, mostly from those oats and the freeze-dried fruit. and some of the sugars, which is all maple sugar. And then a whole lot of protein. So almost 25 grams of protein in each one, which is obviously a whole lot more than your standard oatmeal, and even a lot more than a lot of your other full meal breakfast options that might be out there. So and then we try and keep the sodium stuff at a content that's, you know, manageable for taste, and also not overdoing it to the point where you feel like you're going to explode halfway throughout the day. So each one of those has 500 milligrams of sodium in it, which is at the spectrum of your day for a full meal, pretty small in comparison to what else is out there. So all local fruits, which is cool. Like I mentioned, there's a local company that does all the freeze-dried berries from the local farmers up here in Northwest Washington. So it's cool to be able to use a lot of the local companies here as well, like our honey and all that stuff comes here locally. So everything's kind of been focused to be, you know, calorie dense, nutrient rich from a very macro perspective. I'm not a nutritionist by any means, but what I've found throughout the years is what I typically get gassed out from on a hunt is a lack of protein. Mm-hmm. So it's always nice to have that, you know, filling breakfast kind of to start your day and help with recovery from the day before. And it's a super good grass-fed protein, you know, whey protein that we use. I know some guys don't do the whey very well, but that's the best one that we've found that we like. So that's what we use.
Yeah. Yeah. excuse me. I was impressed with the ingredients on that. Not simply from a nutritional perspective, although that's fantastic. Because, you know, most of the time you get an oatmeal, as you said, it's low on protein, but it's also low on fat. So you're essentially just super high on carbs, a lot of time added sugars. And it's, as you said, it's just not sustaining. But anytime you don't have that protein and that fat backing, it's just less dense, not only from a nutritional perspective, but also for those guys who, you know, geek out on weight. And I'm one of those guys that keeps an eye on things. So, you know, this oatmeal is coming in at like 125 calories per ounce because it has that protein and fat along with it, whereas a lot of other stuff isn't. And then, like you mentioned, it's not just what's in it in general, but the quality of what's in it. And I was impressed, to say the least, really, to be honest with you, when I saw what types of whey you were putting in it, for example. Because I think I saw on social that you were using the Naked brand whey, is that right?
Yep.
And so this is just one of those areas. You could cut a lot of corners and get a much cheaper protein in there because there's all kinds of cheap whey powders that you can get. So it was really impressive to me, again, third party, seeing this after the fact that you guys were using that high quality of ingredients. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's one thing that's real important to us is as hunters especially, we really value where our food comes from. And like you said, it's just, I don't want to cut corners on some of those staples that are a foundation to how you feel out there. So, yeah, no, I'm glad you noticed that, because that's something that we're really trying to focus on is how it's sourced and just what goes into it and why it's a good option out there for guys that are, you know, doing more than what your average outdoorsman's doing, or even not. Just if you're out there in general, it's great. I mean, I eat it at home probably once or twice a week, and my kids eat it all the time. They love it. It's good for all sorts of applications.
Yeah, absolutely. So take us through a little bit of the philosophy behind the fuel bars.
Yeah. So, like you mentioned before, fats are a big, per ounce, super dense and nutrient rich, lots of energy. So those are it's basically all almonds, coconut butter, and coconut. They're just as kind of a nice little bar that you can have in the middle of the day. I eat them for breakfast quite a bit when I'm not feeling like firing up my stove and cooking an oatmeal, or if I ran out of something else, or just for a little quick on the run if I don't eat breakfast. Yeah, they're just super good. Really high calories per ounce, and high in fat. So for guys that are into that, high fat, I know I am, especially in the backcountry. I try to cram as much of it in me as I can with almonds and nut butters and coconut, just because those seem to have a lot of the pack per ounce. So that's kind of those. We're going to come out with some more flavors here soon, and we might be having some variations just in that bar itself with a little bit different ingredients, maybe with some dates and stuff like that, just to make a different texture and kind of a different consistency. So
cool. What flavors are available in those now?
Yeah, we've got a lemon raspberry, a key lime. My parents live down in Key West, so big fly fisherman as well. So I kind of had to give the homage to Key West down there, and it's just a super good sweet flavor. And then we've got a coffee and cacao, kind of a chocolate and coffee flavor with the dark timber coffee in it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I've had the lime and the coffee. Both were excellent.
Good. Glad you enjoyed
it. It was funny with the lime to me. I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge on citrus. And I was like, what the heck is like citrus and coconut combo going to be like? But it was actually really good.
Yeah, those are my favorite for sure. The key lime is.
Cool. All right, man. That leaves, at least for now, I know you said you got more coming, but it leaves the trail mix and then as well as the Rise and Grind cereal, which you said is kind of like the trail mix plus some powdered milk, essentially, for a cold cereal. Kind of, again, just kind of hit the highlights on those if you can.
Yeah, so I'll kind of start with the Rise and Grind. So we kind of wanted to, and it's another one we've been eating for a while. It's just kind of another a grain-free option for a breakfast or kind of more of a granola. Wanted to have some variety. I know not everybody wants to eat oatmeal every day or whatnot. And so it's just kind of another super high fat breakfast option with all the nuts and the pumpkin seeds and coconut that's in there as well. So the trail mix is basically the same thing. It's almonds, coconut, pumpkin seeds, dried cherries from right where I grew up in northern Michigan from a family friend's company, which is super cool. And then some good dark chocolate from a local guy out here in Bellingham. That's all. It's soy-free and low sugar and good dark chocolate to have in there. It just kind of sweetens it up a little bit. So
awesome. So what do you – I mean, is you think from a customer's perspective and they're evaluating the different food options on the market – obviously, I mean, you believe in the product. That's the reason you made it. But what should hunters from a high level really look for if they're comparing things like, oh, I don't know, like, should I try this off-grid stuff or should I just stick with, you know, Quaker Instant Oats or should I stick with Mountain House or whatever? Like, what are just some of the things to consider?
Yeah, obviously, we kind of touched on the nutritional aspect of it in the sense that it's really kind of formulated for those high intensity outings or those, you know, those outings where you're just burning through calories, that we're all familiar with. So there's that aspect to it. And then we are also given 5% of all of our sales, to conservation. And we're going to do an announcement on that here soon from kind of our launch going through kind of archery season there. And I'm not going to give any secrets out on that yet. We'll do an announcement and whatnot of who's getting that. And then, that's a big, you know, important piece of our business model. Just kind of going for the backcountry, market in general, we wouldn't really have a chance at building a business in this market without access to public lands, and critters and fish to go out there and chase. You know, that's kind of our focus. That's my passion. And we want it to be there. You know, I've got two little boys and I want them to have all the opportunity that I have and hopefully then some. So that's a big important piece that, you know, we hope, you know, hits home with all the outdoorsmen out there, that, you know, we want to do more than just give you food. We want to help, you know, prolong the experience out there from a what you're eating standpoint, and from a you can feel good about buying it and knowing that it's going back to what you love doing standpoint. So that's a big piece of it as well. And that, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing to start looking into. But it was something that was just super important to us and that we wanted to do. So, that's a big piece of it as well, that we're hunters, we live it and breathe it, and it's important to us. And the access is important to us, and what's around it is important to us. Yeah. So that's a piece of it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to support conservation. You have to support the company. Like, it all works together. And in the end, like, if we all stand together, it's a big driving force. Like, we truly can make a difference when all of these companies and all of these individuals come together and rally around those causes. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's easy to sit back and hear this stuff and, you know, and have this idea that, oh, that's not doing much. But you have to realize that when each of us play our part, and then you have companies like you guys and like what we're trying to do with Exo Mountain Gear, and I mean, so many others I can think of with our friends at First Light and all that stuff. When all that comes together, that's something big, you know? And I think if we can continue to all push that, then the future is bright.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super cool to see that, you know, see the industry coming together and fighting the fight on what's important to us with all these, you know, public land bills that have been introduced over the last year or two, or, you know, and all the other issues. It's very cool to see people wanting to get involved, and more than wanting to get involved, people getting involved. So we want to do what we can. And that's, you know, the number, that's what we're comfortable with doing. So it's important to us. And it's, like I said, it's super exciting to see everybody kind of coming together for the greater effort.
Cool. How old are your boys? You mentioned you had two.
Yeah, they are crazy. Age crazy. 2.5 and 4.5.
Oh,
so
dang.
They're, yeah, a lot of fun right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was just kind of wondering if they were getting close to hunting age, but you got a couple of years there.
Yeah, I got a few years. They, you know, they've got a little, they've got one of those little bear reekers that they shoot out in the yard with me all the time. So they're starting to get it and starting to get into it and like looking at critters I bring home. And
yeah,
they were throwing geese around the yard the other day. We had a super fun snow goose hunt this weekend and starting to get into bird mode. So I'll probably get them out in the blind watching with their big earmuffs on this winter at some point. So it's a lot of fun to see them start, you know, getting interested into what dad's always out there doing.
Yeah, dude, that's super cool. It's nothing like being able to share that with your kids.
Yeah, and how old are your kids? You've got a couple, I think they're older than mine.
Yeah, they're 8 and 5, so it's, you know, they're getting to the age where they're getting a heck of a lot closer to getting them out there for sure. But, you know, like you, I mean, you know, it's just, they've grown up with me bringing animals home, or, you know, they always like going to look at animals, that whole thing. Like, they're into it. So it's cool to see. And they've been mugging me to get them out. We're probably going to do a spring turkey hunt this year, stuff like that. So it's fun. It's exciting.
Oh, super fun. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's exciting. I can't wait till they can get out and start pounding the hills.
Yeah, for sure. Just some more hunting specific questions, not off grid questions, but I'm just curious. You mentioned you had that year of guiding and we're just kind of started that without guiding experience. I mean, how did that go? What were some of the lessons you learned? What stands out being on that side of a hunt for you?
Man, good question. It was a lot of fun. It was I learned more lessons from doing that, and won't go into details about that, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's really rewarding to take people out there, especially people that aren't familiar with walking around in the woods. I had a guy who had never been camping, never been, you know, really off of a gravel trail, come out in muzzleloader season of Western Washington hunting Roosevelts, and it rained every single day. And he got a couple chances to fire his gun, and You know, it was wet one time, and he had more elk at close range than I would have ever anticipated, and just the smile on his face makes everything about that worth it. It was a lot of fun. Ended up being a whole nightmare with the guy we were working for and blah, blah, blah. So learned a lot of lessons there. Definitely make sure your paperwork's tight when you're working with people. That would be a big, big lesson I learned on that. But it was a lot of fun. And yeah, it really, you know, it helped kind of stem what I've got going on now. So it was a blast, and it was definitely an experience.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's for sure. What do you have any hunts that you're looking forward to or anything upcoming?
Yeah, man, I got a I've had a pretty exciting year already. You snuck out and got a black tail down early in early archery. So that was nice to kind of kick off the season with a little forky. I'd never shot a black tail before, so that's my first black tail. And then we went down, a couple of guys I was guiding with last year, we went down hunting together on our own this year and had a blast chasing Rosies. Buddy stuck a monster bull, and unfortunately we never ended up finding that one. I ended up leaving the day before he shot it, and then came down a few days later again to help him look. And it was one of those, you know, runs into the jungle and starts crossing the creek and finding a drop of blood here and there. And, you know, it was just one of those just scratching your head, like what happened? So that was, you know, we had a lot of highs and lows during elk season, and then managed to stick a cow on the second to last day and got some meat in the freezer. And yeah, so got pretty lucky earlier and still got a bear tag burning a hole in my pocket for another couple weeks here while that's going on, and try and get out locally and find a bear, but really kind of switching modes into nerding out on birds. Big waterfowl hunter, have been for a long time. It's one of my favorite things to do. So that's excited awesome. About that.
Yeah. I'm so like curious about Rosies, you know, because all of my elk hunting experience has just, you know, been Rocky Mountain elk, and man, the terrain out there out west and just the different, you know, subspecies of elk. I'm like getting this itch to like try it one day, because it's just it's another new, different experience and challenge.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. They're super cool critters. I had never hunted them or poked around in Roosevelt country until I started scouting for guide season. And you know, I cut my teeth in Colorado elk hunting, where I finished up school in the Gunnison area. And just, yeah, the difference in the terrain is just shocking. And what some of those Rosies go through is, it's hard enough for a person to get through there, let alone you see the bodies on these things, and they're just gigantic. The stuff they can weasel themselves through in that wet jungle out here is just incredible.
Yeah. What sticks out in terms of differences from a hunting perspective in terms of strategy or tactics or approaches from where you're at in Colorado to, you know, hunting Rosies out in the thick stuff out, you know, coastal west?
Yeah, it's has to do with exactly that, the thick stuff and the terrain. So it's completely different. It's kind of adopted the run and gun strategy that you see a lot of guys out here doing, of just bugling your head off all day until you get a response. And then it's just not really looking at, you know, how do we get over there without being seen, or how do we play the thermals? It's more of just there's a bull, and if the wind's not blowing straight downhill, we're going straight down at him. And it's just, you kind of get that switch flips, and it's like, I don't care what's down below me, we're going in there. So it's crazy, man. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
It's a lot more scattered and a lot less tactical, in my opinion. You're just kind of run around bugling and you hear one, and let's go see what happens. It's not a whole lot of thinking once you get to that point of getting a response.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, though. I mean, you can just be kind of super aggressive, just go, and see what happens.
Yeah, and then, you know, I really like still hunting them, too. You can get down in these creek bottoms, and it's just, you know, kind of that picturesque Pacific Northwest, mossy, ferny. A couple of spots down where we hunt in Southwest Washington, big old growth patches. And just creeping through there just super slow is just out solo hunting or whatever is just super, it's super peaceful. I just love being out in those woods. It's just completely different than anywhere else in the country.
Yeah. Cool. So how can listeners stay up to date with Off Grid and with everything you guys are up to? Check out the new releases that you're going to have coming this year and all the above.
Yeah. Right now we're mainly on Instagram as far as social media goes. I'm working on getting our Facebook page updated and actually kind of active since it's been getting more hits on it. It's been one of those things I've been just procrastinating. There's really no excuse for it. And then our website, which is really where we're doing all the sales from right now, which is www.offgridfood.co. And then my info is on there. Our contact info is on there. If you have any questions, people can reach me at my email, or and if you call the number that's on the website, you'll get me direct. So feel free to call, ask questions. We've got some new stuff in the works coming out. Like I mentioned, we got some jerky coming, and then we're working on getting meals out as soon as we can get approval. So got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe, and we're excited about it. So
awesome. Well, Spencer, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Well, that is a wrap. Again, hope you guys enjoyed this one. Don't forget to go check out Spencer's site, offgridfood.co, and also take advantage of that coupon code. HuntBackCountry10 will save you 10% on your purchase. And be sure to stay tuned, because there's a lot more to come in 2018 from Spencer and from Off Grid Food Company. As we mentioned, there will be entrees and other options available. Excited to see this stuff come to market. As always, guys, if you're enjoying the show, we would love to hear your feedback. You can leave us a review in iTunes, and that helps us tremendously. You can also contact us directly. Just shoot us an email to podcast@exomountaingear.com. Finally, once again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Excited to see what's ahead in 2018.